like this evening to turn to the 84th Psalm, Psalm 84. I'd like to read the entire Psalm, which is 12 verses. How amiable are the tabernacles, or how delightful and pleasing are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. In this psalm, the psalmist speaks of the house of God in verses 1 through 4, and again in verse 10. And we've spoken from these verses many times, but this is a psalm that states the desire of the psalmist concerning the house of God. The psalmist was saying there's something wonderful about this place. There's something wonderful about the house of the Lord. He declares that there in verse 1, how amiable or delightful and pleasant God's house was. It was a place that inspired a sense of delight. We see that from verse 1. It was a place that inspired desire. We see that in verse 2, my soul longeth, and yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. It was also a place that inspired a sense of devotion. We see that in verses 3 and verse 4. And it was a place that inspired a sense of duty, being a doorkeeper in the Lord's house in verse 10. In other words, the Lord's house is an inspiring place. It is an inspiring place. But tonight, that's not what we want to speak upon. We want to take the message tonight, the thought of the message, from verse 6, where we read of God's people. Verse 5, we read, blessed are the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, speaking of those in verse 5, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well of water, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Now the house of God, the temple, was located, of course, in Jerusalem, which is on a mountain or a hillside. And many of the pilgrims had to pass through the valley of Baca to get to the temple of God, or to get to the house of God. So the valley of Baca was the passageway to the place of worship. It is also the passageway, of course, to our eternal home in heaven. I want to speak tonight on life in the valley. Life in the valley. Our spiritual lives, of course, consist of some mountaintop experiences. That is, times when everything seems good and pleasant, times of peace, times of great happiness, And those mountaintop experiences are needed, and they are for our good. We see that Peter, James, and John, with Christ on the mountain of transfiguration, and Peter said to Christ, "Lord, it's good for us to be here." And then he went on to say, "If thou wilt, let us make thee three tabernacles." And what Peter was saying is, "Lord, this is nice. I really like this. Lord, let's just stay here." And Peter wanted to stay on that mountaintop, don't we all? To stay upon the mountaintop. But life also consists of valleys. Times when perhaps things are not going as well as we think they should go, or as well as we would like. Tragedy hits us. That's usually considered a valley time, or in the pits time. When financial problems come, personal problems, marital problems, family problems, church problems, problems that just at times seem to be insurmountable. These are valleys. These are valleys. But remember, this is the passageway to worship. This is how we get to the house of God. The valleys are low places. They lay between the mountaintops. And we thank God for the mountaintop experiences, and we tend to look forward to the mountaintop experiences. But really, it's in the valleys that are perhaps the most important to our lives. Really, if we were to look at our entire life, I believe we could all go back and say the valleys have been the most important part of my life. It's in the valleys that we tend to learn the most. So we want to again speak on that subject, life in the valleys. And it's by the valleys that we reach the mountaintops. It's through the valleys that we go from mountaintop to mountaintop. So valleys are the necessary pathway. We want to view these valleys as representative of the trials of life. We see here from verse 6 that the valley, here in this case, was a valley of weeping, valley of tears. That is, the valley can be a place of sorrow, place of grief, place of heartache, place of burdens, place of anguish, place of pain, affliction, and suffering. We also read of a valley in 1 Samuel 17. We read of the valley of Elah. It was there that a giant by the name of Goliath made his appearance. So it's in the valleys that we find giants sometimes. It's in the valleys that we find the enemies. In that particular valley, we see there was a place where God was defied. It was a place of obstacles, a place of hurdles, a place of challenges. It was a place of great fear. And it was even a place of discouraging clamor, that valley of Elah. The valley is a place of problems. The valley is a place of dilemma, a place where we might find complications, a place where we might find difficulties. From Psalm 23 and verse 4, we learn that there are shadows in the valley. We read of the valley of the shadow of death. Death, of course, is a reality. And shadows make that which is real appear bigger. And how often in the valleys, reality appears bigger than it really is. And that can be very difficult at times. How many times our problems are, though they're real, many times they appear bigger than they really are. These are valleys. Valleys where there are shadows. But the valleys are inevitable. You can't escape them. In fact, the Bible mentions about 35 valleys by name. And throughout the Bible, the valleys were commonplaces. And the valleys in our lives are really commonplaces. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 11, speaking of the land of Canaan, the Lord referred to it as a place of hills and valleys. That's our life. Our life is a place of hills and valleys. There are times when we are on the mountaintop, and there are other times when we are passing through the valleys. Jesus said in John 16 and verse 33, "In the world you shall have tribulation." And in Acts 14 and verse 22, that we must through much. The word much means a great deal, loads of tribulation. That is hardship and ordeals and adversity and setbacks and burdens. We must experience much or loads of these things to enter into the kingdom of God. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange." That is, do not think it unusual concerning the fiery, that is the burning, fervent, volatile, aggressive trial or problem, ordeal, inconvenience, pain, which shall try or test you as though some strange thing happened or took place unto you. Problems are inevitable. We're all going to have problems. There isn't a person here tonight that doesn't have some kind of problem. We all have some problems. We all have some issues that we deal with. Some have more problems than others, no doubt about it. But we all have problems. And I dare say most of us probably are walking through valleys right now. Perhaps there are some up on the mountaintop. Enjoy it. Because eventually you're going to have to go back down into the valley to get to the next mountaintop. So all through the Bible, there are valleys. And if you notice, if you just look at the valleys in Scripture, the valleys are eventful places. A lot of things transpired in the valleys. And the valleys today are really eventful places. But you and I cannot escape the valleys. The valleys also are unpredictable. You can't plan them. It'd be nice if you could. But you just can't make plans for a valley. You can't schedule them, fit them into your life when it's most convenient. Wouldn't that be nice? To just be able to fit in the valleys in our schedule whenever it was most convenient for us? Well, it wouldn't be much of a valley then, would it? But valleys are unpredictable. They're not according to our schedule. How many times you've heard people say, "Oh, not now. Why did this have to happen now? This is the worst time for this to happen." That's a valley. You can't plan your valleys. The valleys are necessary. Most of us, we would choose the mountaintop over the valleys. We would rather have a mountaintop experience than a valley experience. But mountaintop experiences do not just happen magically. God doesn't just airlift you to the mountaintop. You go through the valley. You go through the valley to get to the mountaintop. Oh, we wish. We wish the Lord would just airlift us up to the mountaintop one after another. Never have to experience a valley. He just airlifts us from this one to this one and to this one. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So we think. But you see, the valleys are necessary. Really, the valleys are necessary for us to enjoy the mountaintops. These mountaintops, again, are reached through the valleys. The weeping and tears, the sorrow, the grief, the heartache, the anguish, the burdens, the pain, the afflictions, the sufferings, the obstacles, the hurdles, the challenges. We all have challenges in our life. We all have difficulties in our life. The discouragements, the frustrations, the disappointments. I doubt if there's anyone sitting here tonight that does not have disappointment of some kind. But these are the things that God uses to bring us to the mountaintops. You see, the valleys are the best grades leading to the mountaintops. It's in the valleys where the best grass grows, where the richest and best food is found. So though we do not necessarily look forward to the valleys, though we may not choose the valleys, the valley is the best route to the mountaintop. And God knows that. Our shepherd knows that. And he leads us through the valley. For these pilgrims here in this 84th Psalm, walking through the valley of Baca was necessary to get to Jerusalem. And as they walked through that valley, again, they referred to it as the valley of tears. Just think of the rejoicing that took place when they walked through that valley and finally reached the house of God. Now they're ready to worship the Lord. The truth is, many times God has to bring you and I through the valleys in order so that we can worship God, in order that we'll be ready to worship the Lord. Valleys are manifold. They're not all alike. Some are deeper than others. Some are more treacherous than others. Some are longer than others. But whatever the valley, it's through them that the mountaintops are reached. The valleys also are temporary. They're temporary. We read in our text here in verse 4 or verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca. Psalm 23 and verse 4. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, three times God says we come through these things. We come through the waters. We come through the rivers. We come through the fires. The key word is through. What does through mean? That means you go into and you come out of. And that's what the valleys are. You go into the valleys and you come out of the valleys. And when you come out in the mountaintop. We're not meant to live in the valley. We're not meant to stay in the valley. We're not meant to linger in the valley. We're certainly not meant to get stuck in the valley. We're meant to go in and go out of the valley. Now again, some valleys are longer than others. Some valleys you spend a little more time than others. But as children of God, we go through each one. We need to make sure that we don't get stuck in the valley. That's not what God would have for us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Which is another way of saying we're going to go through this. We're going to get through this. Not because of who we are, but we're going to get through this because of our God. Because of the shepherd that leads us through the valleys. So valleys are not dead ends. They're not dead ends. Valleys are places to walk through. And we need to make sure that we're walking through the valley. That we're not sitting down in the midst of the valley having a pity party, but that we are actually walking through the valley, getting closer and closer to that mountaintop. Valleys, many times, cannot be explained. That's what makes them so difficult at times. Can't always explain the valley that you're in. That what makes them so dark at times. We don't always understand the valleys. We don't always understand, why do I have to walk through this valley? Why do I have to walk through this valley at this time in my life? And maybe at times we just don't understand. We can't explain the valleys. If we understood why we had to go through the valley, no doubt it makes it a little easier. But there is a great mystery to the things of God. Jesus said to the apostles there on the Passover night in John 13 and verse 7, talking about washing their feet, he said, "What I do thou knowest not now." Oh, how true. How often that is true. "What I do thou knowest not now, but hereafter, hereafter thou shalt know." You know what? We may go through the valley. We may have no earthly idea. Why am I going through this particular valley? Why am I going through this valley now? And then when we come through the valley, we can look back and we can say, "Now I know why. Now I know why I had to go through that valley." But you know, there are other times that even after we come through the valley, and even when we reach the mountaintop, we still don't know. Why did I have to go through that valley? You say, "Well, we'll know when we get to heaven. It won't matter then." In other words, we don't always have to know. All we have to do is trust the God who brings us through. Brings us through the valleys. The valleys also are places of purpose. We may not understand why we have to go through the valley. Perhaps a better question is, why not? Anytime you ask yourself, "Why do I have to go through this?" Why not? Who are you that you shouldn't go through it? Valleys are places of purpose. And whatever valley I have to walk through, God has put it there for a definite purpose. And He allows you and I to walk through that valley. And He has a very definite plan. You see, it's in the valleys that faith is increased. You say, "Oh, it'd be nice if it was just sunshiny all the time and never no clouds." You know what you'd have then? A desert. What your life would be. You need some clouds. You need some storms. We all do. And it's in these valleys that faith is increased. It's in these valleys that resolve is strengthened. I'll be honest with you, I've gone through more valleys the last couple of years than probably any other period of time in my life, and I have more resolve now than I've ever had in my whole life. Resolve is increased. Resolve is increased in the valleys. It's in the valleys that courage is developed. That's where we find courage. It's in the valleys where conviction is formed. Many times we have to walk in the valley so that we can have some conviction about us. It's in the valleys that maturity, spiritual maturity, is obtained.
If all God did was airlift us from mountaintop to mountaintop, we wouldn't grow spiritually. But it's through the valleys that we find spiritual maturity. And oh, how desperately we need spiritual maturity today. But you know what? Desire is strengthened in the valleys. I picture those pilgrims walking through the valley of Baca, through the valley of tears. And as they walked through that valley, their desire for God's house increased and increased and increased. And all the joy that bursted forth when they finally arrived at God's house. You see, in the valleys, desire is strengthened. Usefulness is found in the valleys. The way we are most helpful to other individuals is not because you dwell on the mountaintops all the time. It's because you've walked in some valleys. And it makes you useful. It makes you useful to others. We grow in knowledge in the valleys. Valleys increase our knowledge. And again, the valleys are God's pathway to the next mountaintop. So there are things in the valleys that we cannot see or experience unless I get down in the valley. Notice 1 Peter 1, and we've pointed this out many times. This verse just blesses me. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 6. 1 Peter 1, verse 6. Wherein, that is our salvation, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, temporary. And I love these next three words. If need be. If need be. Ye are in heaviness. Sometimes we need to be in heaviness. Sometimes we need sorrow. Sometimes we need our hearts to break. If need be, and God knows when I need sorrow. God knows when my heart needs breaking. If need be, you are in manifold. Or if need be, you're in heaviness. And this heaviness is caused by manifold temptations or testings. You see, the valleys are places of purpose. The valleys are necessary. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3, let no man be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Appointed thereunto. To afflictions. Well, how could a loving God, don't you see? It's because He loves me. It's because He loves me that He allows me to walk in the valleys. It's because He loves me that sometimes I have to walk in the low, low, low places. Because He does love me. Because He knows what I need. You and I would be useless if we just lived on the mountaintops all the time. We would be of no use. So look at your valleys. Look at your valleys. And say, this valley is for me. May not be what I've chose, but it's what God chose. And this valley is for me. And I'm going to walk through it. And I'm going to walk through it with God. And I'm going to come out on the mountaintop when I get through this valley. That's how we need to view our valleys. I want to look, if we go back to Psalm 84, I want you to notice some things that you can find in the valley. We see in verse 6 that they passed through the valley. They going back to those in verse 5, also those who passing through the valley, one and the same. They go from strength to strength. They're made stronger and stronger. We find strength. We find strength in the valley. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through a valley for nothing. If I'm going to go through a valley, I want everything. I want God to give me more strength. I don't want to go through the valley and come out on the worst end. And if you do, you've done something wrong. But they go from strength to strength. You see, it's in the valley. It's in the valley that we become aware of our weakness. And as Paul said there in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, when I am weak, then I am strong. How true. It's because when I'm weak, that's when I realize I need to lean upon God. And when I lean upon God, that's when I'm the strongest. It's in the valley that we learn our weakness. If we lived on the mountaintop all the time, we wouldn't know of our weakness. We have to go down in the valleys to learn just how weak we are. And to learn that without me, you can do nothing. That's where we learn those things. Down in the valley. But I'll tell you something else you find in the valley. Is you find the ears of the Lord. Verse 8 it says, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear. And don't you think that those who were passing through the valley of Baca on their way to the house of God, don't you think they were crying unto God? Don't you think they were praying unto God? It's the best way to get through the valley is to talk to God. And He listens. It's in the valleys that we discover how to pray. It's in the valleys that we're most prone to pray. You can find the Lord's guidance in the valley. Verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun. Sometimes you and I may lose our sense of direction. Where is it that we learn to seek God's direction? In the valley. Down in the valley. If you listen, Isaiah 30 verse 21. While you're walking through the valley, listen for that small, still voice that says, this is the way. Walk in it. Listen. Don't get so discouraged. Don't get so depressed. Don't have such a big pity party that you turn off your ears and you turn a deaf ear to God. As you walk through the valley, listen. Listen for God. Listen for God telling you, go this way. Go this way. Feel the Lord tugging at you and leading you. It's in the valleys that we find the guidance of God. It's in the valleys that we find His protection. Notice in verse 9 and verse 11, He is a shield. It's in the valley that we sense danger. And it's in the valley that we seek God's protection. But not only that, it's in the valley that we learn to appreciate God's protection. Going through that valley, we appreciate the Lord's. We need to appreciate God's protection. And none of us are aware tonight, fully, what God protects us from. God protects us every second of the day. Protects us from ourselves. How often I would have ruined my life left to myself. It's in the valley that we become aware of God's protection. Notice also in verse 11, the Lord will give grace and glory. It's in the valley you find grace. Yes, there are obstacles in the valley, but there's grace. Yes, there are some troubles in the valley, but there's God's grace. There's some inconvenience, But there's the grace of God.
There's some difficulty, there's some hardships, some trials and some burdens. There's some heartaches. God's grace is sufficient. Where do you discover the sufficiency of God's grace but in the valley?
How many times people say, "Oh, Brother Dan, it's true. God's grace is sufficient."
Where did you learn that? In the valley. Down in the dumps. Down in the pit. You learn God's grace is sufficient. God's grace, there is a sufficiency of power in God's grace. There is a sufficiency of comfort in God's grace. Verse 11 also, we read, "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly through the valley." God is good no matter what. When Job's 10 children were killed, God was good. When Job's wife forsook him, God was good. No matter what happens in our life, God is good. He's never any better, he's never any worse, he's just good. All the time, God is good. And we experience God's goodness, of course, up on the mountaintop. Don't lose sight of God's goodness in the valley. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That is, everywhere I go, there's the goodness of God and there's the mercy of God. God is good. And we learn, I believe, to appreciate the goodness of God in the valley. Lastly, what should we do in the valley? Well, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged in the valley. Remember where it's taking you. It's going to the next mountaintop. Don't be distracted from your destination. Those who were passing through the valley of Baca, they knew their destination. They knew where they were going. They were going to the temple of God. They were going to worship God. Don't lose sight of your destination. Also, we see here in verse 6, "Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well." The children of God, passing through this valley on their way to the house of God, made it a well. Don't waste your sorrows. Dig a well. Don't waste your valleys. Dig a well. Dig a well. They made the entire valley a well. And you turn your times of sorrow and distress. You turn those times into wells where you can draw some water from. And then when you go back into that valley at some later time, what did they find? "The rain also filleth the pools." When they had to go through it again, they benefited. They benefited from those wells. They made it a well. The next time you go through a valley, dig a well. Dig a well. How do you dig a well? By doing what you know to do. You're digging a well. Good advice. When you don't know what to do. How many times people say, I just don't know what to do. When you don't know what to do, you do what you know you should do. Don't ever lose sight of that. You see what happens. What we should do is we should keep praying. I don't know what to do. Keep praying. Keep going to church. Keep tithing. Keep worshiping God. You know you're to do those things. So don't just sit down and do nothing and say, I don't know what to do. Do what you know to do.
That's how you dig a well. That's how you get through the valley. By doing what you know you ought to do. And you know what else? If you dig a well in that valley, you do what you ought to do walking through your valley, that well may benefit someone else. How often we walk through the valley, our heads are hanging, we're depressed, we're downtrodden, and we're of no use to anybody. But you go through the valley and you dig a well here and you dig a well there. That is, you keep coming to church. How many times you go to visit somebody? They haven't been in church for a month. Oh, Brother Dan, you don't understand all the problems I got. I understand this. You've got a lot of them because you're not doing what you ought to do. When you've got problems, the worst thing to do is to stop praying. The worst thing to do is stop reading the Bible. The worst thing to do is stay away from God's people. Do the things you know to do. Dig a well, and you'll be a blessing. You'll be a blessing to someone else, and someone else will benefit from the well that you dug in that valley. God help us to walk through the valleys like we ought to. Then notice verse 12. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Go through the valley, trusting God. Trust the Lord. Do you have any reason tonight not to trust God? Has God lied to you? Has God given you a reason not to trust Him? Trust the Lord. Man has given you many reasons not to trust Him. And yet we are bent on trusting man rather than God. When we walk through the valleys, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. In closing, we have a generation of people today who have pitched their tents in this world. And they think they're here for the duration. We're just passing through. And we've got to pass through some valleys. We need to keep our minds and we need to keep our hearts upon our destination. If we're going through a valley in our everyday life, if you begin a valley tomorrow morning, you walk through that valley into the doors of the house of God on Wednesday night. And that prepares you to go to the valley again. That valley is preparing you to worship. You see, the valley should have the opposite effect. Here the pilgrims went through the valley of Baca. When they got to the house of God, they were ready to worship God. Oh, how they appreciated the house of God. Oh, how glad they were to be there. Yet today, when people are walking through the valleys, they might as well put a big old sign on them and say, I'm walking through a valley, leave me alone today. They come in, their heads dragging. Everybody in the church feels sorry for them. They ought to appreciate being in the house of God more than ever when you had to walk through a valley to get here. That ought to make you more ready to worship God. Because I've had to walk through a valley to get here. We ought to be ready to worship the Lord. We have to endure. We read in Psalm 30 and verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. That's true of every one of us that are saved. Weeping may endure even through this life, but there is a joy that's coming. We ought to thank God for our valleys this evening. Thank God. Thank God that they are temporary. I'm just passing through a valley. You know what else the valleys do? The valleys bring us to the mountaintop. We get refreshed up there in the mountaintop. And that mountaintop experience is doing what? Just preparing us for another valley. And then we go through that valley and we get to another mountaintop just to get us prepared for the next valley. God knows what He's doing. God knows how to refresh His people. Don't turn down. Don't turn down the refreshment of God. And so many tonight, that's exactly what they're doing. They're so busy feeling sorry for themselves that they turn down the refreshment of God. They turn down the rest that God will give them. The only way you'll get through the valley is you've got to receive the refreshment that God gives. And you find that in His Word. Don't stop reading God's Word when you're going through the valley. Read it all day long. Dwell upon it. Meditate upon it. God will get you through the valley. He's gotten us through all the valleys up to this point. He'll get us through this one. He'll get us through the next one, whatever our valley is. So whatever your valley is tonight, remember your destination. Remember where you're headed. Rely upon the resources that the Lord has provided. Brother Larry, if you'd come.